Hello, you're listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. For this, our September 2015 podcast, I was able to talk with IRP Director Lonnie Berger about a paper that was published in the journal Pediatrics earlier this year on children's academic achievement and foster care. Berger co-authored the paper with Maria Kenchan, Unhee Han, Jennifer Noyes, and Vanessa Rios-Salas. We should note that Dr. Kenchan's work on the project occurred before she began her appointment as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Administration for Children and Families, United States Department of Health and Human Services. The main question, then, in this paper, and the one that we're going to look at in this podcast, is whether foster care, also known as out-of-home placement, actually leads to worse academic achievement for kids. On a lot of measures, kids in foster care are doing worse than the average kid in school, but as we turn to Professor Berger, he says that that in itself shouldn't be particularly surprising.
One of the places we started from was that there have been recent reports in other states, and different documentation showing that foster kids do much worse in school, whether it's measured by test scores, whether it's measured by graduation rates, on a lot of different metrics than average children in the population. And that's really not surprising, right? So it's not surprising, not only given, you know, some of the experiences that may have led them to foster care, but also, you know, the kids that come into foster care aren't like the average kid in school. To begin with, they tend to be from lower income families. We know there's a gap in educational achievement, educational attainment by family socioeconomic status. They're also much more likely to have experienced a host of risk factors. So to begin with, child maltreatment, but also parental substance abuse, parental mental health problems, family instability, a range of other risk factors that in and of themselves would make these kids more vulnerable to adverse outcomes than your average child.
Yet the question remains as to whether being in foster care in and of itself is associated with poor educational outcomes. And this question is not simply academic. It has important policy implications of interest to both the Wisconsin Departments of Children and Families and Public Instruction.
On the one hand, if children who enter care already have a history of low achievement, and then we observe them in care or after care, and they still display low achievement, so then that may imply that the achievement gap is not caused by foster care itself, but, you know, rather that foster care doesn't compensate for a pre-existing gap in achievement. And we can think about or argue about whether the foster care system should or should not compensate for that gap, but the main implication there is that it's not causing that gap. The flip side is that, you know, it's very possible that the disruption associated with foster care placement, with removal from home, with separation from potentially siblings, you know, clearly parents, is really a stressful process and a disruption that potentially compromises school achievement, right, by potentially affecting, you know, causing stress, affecting kids' abilities to concentrate. Often there's a change in school that's associated with foster care placement. And so we could think of all of these things as potential ways that foster care placement in and of itself could decrease or be associated with poorer achievement outcomes.
Berger says, while the key reason that a child would be removed from home is for issues of child safety, he says the system actually has a three-part mandate. So it's about safety, but also about promoting permanency and preserving child well-being. So if something about foster care is causing kids to have worse academic achievement, that would have big policy implications. Berger and his colleagues had to think about how to measure foster care in and of itself against all these other risk factors that kids in foster care may have been exposed to.
This was a project where it really required linking, you know, to begin with child welfare data, so foster care data, with Department of Public Instruction, what we call it in Wisconsin, sometimes called Department of Education data in different states, so with test score data. And so, and then we also, because these families differ so much, we wanted data from a range of other programs. So you might want to know things like, is the family receiving food stamps? What's the family's earnings? Do they qualify for TANF programs, for cash welfare? So we extract data from a wide range of these programs, both to get, you know, our key variables, but also to get control variables, things like, you know, number of kids in the family, family size, family structure, those kinds of things. And so what we're able to end up with is a data set of about 530,000 child year observations of about a little more than 200,000 children. And we're going to observe these children every year from grades 3 through 8. And those are the years where in the Wisconsin public schools, every one of those years, you take a standardized reading test and a standardized math test. And our data spanned from the 2005-2006 school year through the 2011-2012 school year. Essentially, what we're going to have is test scores, a range of socio-demographic variables, and foster care or child welfare involvement variables for that time period and for kids in that age group.
For their primary outcomes, the researchers looked at both math and reading scores that were measured every year for children in grades 3 through 8, or about ages 8 to 13. But Berger says that as they looked at test scores for kids in foster care, that it was really important to think about the groups they were comparing them to.
And so what we essentially did was construct 5 different comparison groups. 6 if you count the average kid in Wisconsin public schools. So we can compare mean scores on these math and reading tests between children in foster care with the average score for every kid in Wisconsin public schools in grades 3 through 8. And we do that. But then we want to get to what we think of as closer comparisons. So if our main group of interest is children who are currently in out-of-home placement in foster care, we started with a comparison group of children who received SNAP or food stamps in the last 12 months, the 12 months prior to taking the achievement test, but had no experience with Child Protective Services. And so we can think of that as an economically or socioeconomically disadvantaged sample, but have no, at least known, child maltreatment problems. And then we also thought, well, you know, given that we have access to detailed child welfare data, not just on people, kids who are in out-of-home care, we can also look at kids who are investigated but not placed. So we think, okay, so kids who were reported to child welfare in the last 12 months had an investigation but were not removed from home. And so we think about those kids as potentially being somewhat better comparison group because they've at least had some kind of child welfare experience. A third group we could look at is a group of kids who were investigated by child welfare in the year prior to the test, were not removed from home during that time, but were removed from home after the test, right? So within 6 months or so after the test, they were removed from home. They had been investigated before the test and were in home at the time. And we might think of this as a really high-risk group. So they're going to be removed but haven't been removed yet. And then we looked at a group of kids who were recently in out-of-home placement, so who were out-of-home within the last 12 months but were back at home at the time of the test. So these are kids who had experienced out-of-home placement but were in home in the time of the test.
Professor Berger says that just looking at the mean or the average gaps across these groups is really informative. Here, we're using reading as an example, but the patterns are largely the same if you looked at math instead.
If we look at the difference between the average score for children taking the test while in out-of-home placement and the average score for the typical Wisconsin, the mean for the typical Wisconsin public school student, what we see is the kid who's taking the kids who are taking the test while they're in out-of-home placement are performing about 0.6 standard deviations below or worse than the average across the whole population of students. This is a really big effect. If you then look at, well, how are kids who receive food stamps, who receive SNAP, doing compared to the average public school student, what you essentially see is they're doing about 0.4 standard deviations worse. And that's also a really large effect. So essentially, if you're comparing, you know, thinking about those gaps, the gap between the average public school student and the student and the socioeconomically disadvantaged student who receives food stamps is twice as big as the gap between the kid who receives food stamps and the kid who's in out-of-home placement. And you could, you know, kind of think about it as, of that whole gap, assuming that kids in out-of-home placement are economically disadvantaged, about two-thirds of it is probably due to that disadvantage.
When Berger and his colleagues compared children who were in out-of-home placement to children that had some other involvement with child protective services, the differences they found were actually pretty small.
So we see a relatively small difference between kids taking the test while they're in out-of-home placement, kids who were investigated before the test, not removed in the year before or the year after the test, kids who were out of home in the year before the test but back at home at the time they took the test, and kids who had been investigated prior to taking the test and were removed from home in the year subsequent to the test. And if anything, the kids whose scores, mean scores, were the worst were the kids who were still at home and were going to be removed subsequently. So the kids who probably were in a very, or, you know, most likely to be in a chaotic or unstable environment that would eventually, you know, get to the point where a child had to be removed.
What we see here is that you get very different stories depending on whether you compare students who are in foster care to the average student, or to students whose families receive SNAP, or to students who have different levels of child protective services involvement. Given this, Berger and his team set out to find explanations for these stories.
We also, you know, were concerned that there are a variety of other differences that may explain parts of these gaps, these mean gaps. So what we did was we really used three different empirical strategies to try to get at whether these other factors, so how kids are doing before they come into care, differences in the characteristics of kids whose families come into care and those who don't, changes in kids' own achievement scores over time. And so what we really did was use three different modeling strategies. The first, we use a pooled ordinary least squares regression, which is essentially we're doing comparing across groups, and we're saying between these five groups that we focus on, adjusting for differences in income, differences in whether you qualify for school lunch and family structure, whether your parents have been incarcerated, all these things that might be correlated with both achievement test scores and your probability of being in out-of-home placement. So adjusting for those things, how do the kids in each group compare? The second thing we did was add to that model children's prior test scores. So we say, if we also account for how kids were doing in the year before we're observing them, how does that change our results? And essentially, that's a way of saying we're going to account for a bunch of unobserved pre-existing characteristics, right, that would affect their current test score essentially in the same way they affected their prior test score. So letting kids essentially comparing kids at the same prior test score and seeing how they look in different placement statuses the next wave or the next period. The third thing we do is what's called a fixed effects model. And essentially, instead of comparing now across kids, so but the difference between a child who's in out-of-home placement and a child whose family is receiving SNAP, what we're going to do is look at within-child change.
For this fixed effects model, the researchers look at a child's test score when they're in out-of-home placement and see how that score varies relative to his or her test scores in the other periods.
So most interestingly, in the child fixed effects model, when we look at how a child's own score varies when they're observed in these different placement statuses, what we essentially see is there's no difference when we observe a kid moving, say, from only receiving SNAP to being out of home during the test, or when we observe a kid on SNAP versus the same kid being out of home placement before the test but back at home at the time of the test. We do see a tiny difference when kids are the same kid is observed with their family only on SNAP or having been investigated by CPS and but not removed, and they're not removed prior to or subsequent to the test. And that, I mean, it's a very small difference, like 1% of a standard deviation. And then we see still a relatively modest difference, but we see, the children who are screened in, so who are investigated and are going to be placed later, do about 9% of a standard deviation worse than when they're observed in a year where their family was on SNAP, but no child welfare involvement.
Professor Berger says that the other thing we should note is that when they compare all these placement statuses to each other, they don't find statistically significant differences.
In other words, it doesn't matter whether you're in foster care at the time of the test, you were before the test, you were investigated and removed later, or you were investigated and not removed before or after, your test scores are roughly the same. And so what this leads us to conclude is that while it's very clear that on average, children involved in CPS do worse than children in the general population and do worse than children whose families are economically disadvantaged and qualify for SNAP benefits, on average, these gaps tend to be relatively large. Once we compare among disadvantaged children, the gap gets much smaller. And particularly when we look at within, so comparing just among kids who have different levels of Child Protective Services involvement, we really see very little differences that are not significant and not particularly substantively meaningful.
Berger says that these very small differences between students with different levels of Child Protective Services involvement suggest that foster care in and of itself doesn't appear to be causing poor academic achievement.
What we're really likely seeing is that all of these other characteristics that are associated with both, with being involved in the Child Protective Services system to begin with being removed and being placed in foster care, are also associated with lower levels of achievement. And those are likely driving this correlation that we see between foster care and poorer test scores and poorer child achievement. And so the implication there is that we may well want to do interventions to compensate for pre-existing deficits or pre-existing risk factors that are associated with poor achievement among foster kids. But I think it is inadvisable to assume that it's the foster care system in and of itself that's leading to poor achievement.
Berger says that besides what this tells us about the relationship between foster care and academic achievement, this kind of research shows us that we should think carefully about how we compare different groups when we're thinking about policy.
I think one of the big takeaways is that, you know, when we approach this kind of policy-relevant research, particularly in these areas where we're thinking about really vulnerable kids, it's super important to try to think very carefully about, well, we see this big average difference in the population. Is it likely to be caused by essentially the grouping variable, in this case, whether you're in foster care or not? Or are there large differences in the types, in the selection of people into that category? And this is crucial for public policy, thinking about where do you put your resources? And that really depends on what you believe or what you've identified as the cause.
Berger and his colleagues continue to work on questions about the educational achievement of children in out-of-home care in partnership with the Departments of Children and Families and Public Instruction as part of the Wisconsin Educational Collaboration for Youth and Foster Care Project, which is funded by the Federal Department of Health and Human Services. Many thanks to Lonnie Berger for sharing this work with us. You've been listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty.